Member Week is here at Lowe's. That means it's time for MyLowe's Rewards members to save big with up to 40% off hundreds of items like appliances, tools, home essentials, and more. Plus, get free standard shipping. Shop these exclusive member-only savings now through October 15th. Not a rewards member? Join for free today. Free standard shipping not available in Alaska and Hawaii. Exclusions and more terms apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Yeah, I wanted to say with folks out there all that are listening to us, they're in New York. They're down. It's just dead air in New York. I don't know what's happening there, but I know it always happens when we're on. All these things always happens when we're on. And but you can go to the Word Cleveland, thewordcleveland.com, and you can hear the program. If you go up on the internet, you can listen to us. On those smartphones, they listen to us.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different ways that they can listen to us, but if they just go to thewordcleveland.com. But go ahead. And did you have an article there,
yes,
Randy?
This is 7.5 million, it says, foreign permits in 2024, while 17 million Americans were left jobless. It says America's workers are being betrayed while millions of our people search for jobs or settle for part-time work. The government is quietly flooding the labor pool with foreigners. In 2024, only 1.5 million new jobs were created, yet 7.5 million work permits were approved, a 6 million worker surplus. At 3.6 million retirements, 4.9 million new graduates, and 6.7 million unemployed, and the total climbs to over 17 million Americans left behind. Biden's Bureau of Labor Statistics lied about the job market, but the math is undeniable. Elizabeth Farah exposes the truth and calls on President Trump to act now, end this corrupt system, and put Americans first.
All right, very good. We have Pastor Hal. Do you want to bring up Pastor Hal?
Yeah, how you doing?
We're doing okay. You're in the air. Go ahead.
There's a lot of talking going on about what's happening over in Israel right now, and a lot of people are confused. They don't know where to stand on it. But I'd like to just take 1 minute to clear everything up for them, if I can. It's in Leviticus chapter 25, verse 23, and Ezekiel 38, 16, God says that land of Israel, which was before that known as Canaan, is his land. He says the land is mine, and he's going to give it to who he wants, and he doesn't want anybody else taking it. And though he kicked Israel off for a while because of their backsliddenness and everything else like that, he judged them for their sins, but he never forsook them. And God gave the land of Canaan, or Israel, to Abraham in Genesis 12, 7, to Isaac in Genesis 26, 3 and 4, and to Jacob in Genesis 28, 13, and chapter 35, 12. And, you know, he said that that through Isaac would his seed be called, not through Ishmael. Now, Abraham had an Egyptian wife named Hagar, who had Ishmael, an Egyptian child, but God told Abraham to tell Hagar and Ishmael to go back to Egypt, where they, you know, where Hagar was from, that they would not have any part or parcel of the land of Israel, but it'd all be coming through Isaac, which is called the seed of promise. And where we're at right now, you got people trying to force Israel into a two Israel state. But Joel chapter 3, verses 2, it talks about how people, the different nations, will be trying to divide Israel among the heathen. And God promises a stern judgment for that, maybe even destruction. And directly addresses the act of nations dividing the land of Israel. And right now, America is out in front of all of them. You got 149 nations of the United Nations trying to divide up Israel and make it a two-state thing, which God says no to. He hates that, and he's not going to allow it to happen. And so America needs to get back out of that thing because, you know, these are people that hate God. They hate Christ. They hate Israel. They said they still want to drive Israel into the sea. And the United Nations wants to put them right in Israel's lap, where they can be that much closer to destroy Israel and everything. And just one last thing, you know, the Arabs right now, they have Mount Moriah, where they got that Mosque of Omar. Well, King David bought that property. It belongs to Israel. And the Bill of Sale is recorded in the Bible in 1 Chronicles chapter 21, verses 18 through 25, and in 2 Samuel 24, verses 18 through 25. So there you got a bill of sale given to King David for Mount Moriah, and nobody ever said the Arabs could come up there and build anything. They're trespassing on Israel's land right now. They don't belong in Gaza. Not one inch of Israel belongs to anybody outside of the seed of Abraham through Isaac. And if America knows what's good for it, we got to be on Israel's side. We can't be trying to get them to divide a land up that's not theirs. The land belongs to God, and God says he's going to give it to Abraham through Isaac, and that's all there is to it.
Boy, you're awful opinionated, aren't you? Anyhow, there's a couple comments on that, too. One thing that Israel needs to do, like America needs to do, Israel needs to repent. Israel really needs to repent. Because they have, like America, they have a lot of communists there, a lot of Antichrist communists, and that's one of the problems of it is they, and I know the point is like here in America, we needed to purge. You know, you still have child killing that's legal. They still accept same-sex marriage. Until that sin is purged out of the land, until that, you know, you can't expect God to bless you as long as you consent and you turn a blind eye to the sin, whether it's Israel or America, and that's what's happening there. They're, you know, very simple, repent or perish. The other thing, too, is here I see what Trump was talking about, what did he wanted to do there in Gaza. You see, he wanted to rebuild Gaza, you know, turn that into a big construction site to build like a huge city complex, like a real top shelf thing like they have there in Saudi Arabia. But in order to do that, he has to move all of those people out of there. They got to be moved out of there, out of the area, and to Egypt or to some other country to do that. That was what they've been talking about doing. Now, and to do that, he can put a lot of those people, it's not the Palestinians, it's the, that is the problem, it's Hamas. Hamas, it's the radical, the jihadists, okay? There are Palestinian Christians, okay, that are solid Christians there, and they get persecuted and they've been killed by both sides. They get killed by the Muslims and by Israel, okay? But that's what he wants to do. And so here's where it starts. Whether it's Israel or America, you got to start with repentance. There's got to be repentance. And once that happens, they can start things will change. God will hear their prayers.
Well, we can't have a revival without repentance.
Right. There's got to be repentance. You can't have salvation without repentance.
Right.
You know, when I mention a future permanent restoration of Israel, Isaiah 60, verse 21, everything, that happens at the end of the tribulation period, after the nation of Israel goes through the most horrible time they've ever seen, and the veil is taken from their eyes, and they realize that Jesus Christ was their Messiah. They repent of rejecting their Messiah, and they repent of all their sins besides that. And the Bible says in Zechariah 13:1 that a fountain is going to be opened up for them. And like that old, you know, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that blood lose all their guilty stains. That's going to happen to the whole nation of Israel toward at the end of the tribulation period. And I praise God for that. But, you know, there's even the Palestinians, they, you know, a lot of them claim to be peaceful. But when 9/11 happened in New York, CNN and all the news channels were showing Muslims all over the world, just Palestinians, Arabs, it didn't matter. They were all cheering the terrorists that they bombed the New York and everything. They were all cheering, these so-called peaceful. And what's happening is that the so-called peaceful Arabs are a smokescreen for the terrorists to hide behind. So the terrorists will go sucker punch somebody, kill a bunch of people, run back to their land, and hide behind these so-called peaceful Palestinians and say, oh, you guys, you're not going to kill these people, are you? And
that's true. That's true. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But meanwhile, you got to realize that there are Palestinian Christians out there, just like the same thing in Egypt. You have areas in Egypt and in India where the Christians are persecuted worse than ever today all around the world right now. Nigeria, in fact, they're trying to introduce some legislation. There's some senators here in this country because over 50,000 Christians have been slaughtered in Nigeria in the last couple of years. 50,000.
Yeah.
50, and they want Trump to send troops there to Nigeria and to at least put a safe zone for Christians in there until they have the ability to protect themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, Pastor, before 1948, that whole area known as Israel looked like a bankrupt goat pasture. It looked just
for 1900 years.
Yeah, just like a few nomads traveling through there every once in a while, but it was like nothing. But then when they found out Israel is going to be returning there, all the surrounding Arab countries sent their riffraff into that area and said, you go there and don't come back or we'll kill you. We want you to be a stone in their shoe as long as they're there. So you might have Palestinians that are Christians. Good for them. But they still don't belong there. The surrounding Arab countries push these people into that area of Israel just to be a stone in Israel's shoe and cause all the trouble they can, which they've done a good job of ever since then. But you know, I'm all for Palestinians being Christians, but they still don't belong there. That's my opinion.
Well, many of them work right there in Israel and Jerusalem. They work there. Yeah. They're peaceful people. They live there in the. They don't live out in the Gaza. Some of them live right there in Jerusalem, in the city, and they're decent people. It's the Hamas. So you have to separate this from Hamas. Just like people will say, well, those are American Democrats. Well, we're American too, but we sure aren't Democrats, right? And so that's you have to make sure you don't lump them all together because they're not the same. And so.
Okay, well, I'll get going. I just want to make that comment.
Right, well, I'm going to take you to Israel with me the next time I go over there. And I'm going to yell out, this is the guy that was on the radio here. He wants to send all you... He wants to send you all to Egypt or someplace. All right.
Oh, okay.
All right, we'll talk to you later. All right.
We'll talk to you later.
All right, have a good night. God bless. Bolden, Biden told CIA he wanted intel report on his family. So Ukraine ties suppressed, and it was, listen to this, folks. We talked about this before, remember? This has had, you just had Operation Arctic Frost. And Operation Arctic Frost was, they just had mass firings at the FBI because of those agents, those CR-16 agents were... They were spying on our U.S. senators, on eight senators.
Yeah.
They were tapping their phone lines. They were listening, tapping their, reading their mail, reading their emails.
Yeah.
And so what's happening is Biden says, I want to know, find out what they know about my crime family, about what we're doing. Get everything you can and then shut it down. Shut them down. Whatever evidence they have, get rid of it, okay? But here's what the article says. Joe Biden, vice president in 2015 in charge of Ukrainian policy for Barack Obama, told the CIA he would strongly prefer that an intel report confirming Ukrainian concerns about the families tied to corrupt business operations there not be disseminated. In other words, make sure it doesn't get out, okay? And it wasn't. A report published at Fox News explains that comes from newly declassified emails. They found a bunch of these things in the burn bags. Okay. And he goes on to say, the information was declassified by CIA Chief John Ratcliffe, who said the details suggest there was a politicalization of intelligence. The report explained, see, this is treason.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The report explained a senior CIA official briefed Fox News Digital on the details, stating that the intelligence was discovered along with an email showing that Biden expressed preference to not share the reports. The email said, good morning, I just spoke with VP NSA, and he would strongly prefer the report not be disseminated. Thanks for understanding. The signer's name was redacted, but held the title of PDB briefer for Presidential Daily Brief.
No.
There you go. And so here, the email was from February 10th, 2016, with the subject line, over Vice President query regarding draft redacted. Fox confirmed the report in question included intelligence revealing that Ukrainian officials viewed the Biden's family's alleged ties to corrupt business practices in Ukraine as evidence of a double standard within the United States government towards matters of corruption and political power. In fact, at the time, Joe Biden was in charge of Obama's Ukraine policy. Son Hunter Biden was being paid about $1 million a year to be on the board of Burisma, an allegedly corrupt company being targeted by investigators. Joe Biden used the threat of withholding American financial help to force the Ukrainians to fire the prosecutor investigating Burisma. The report never was shared based on the preference from the office of the vice president. The senior CIA official told Fox News Digital that it was extremely rare and unusual and inappropriate to go outside of the intelligence community and inquire with the White House on the dissemination of a particular report. For what? I got to get to turn the page, folks. For what appears to be political reasons, the report said. I'm going to just stop there because it's a very lengthy report. But you have an article there,
Richard. Yeah, this goes along with what Hal was talking about here. It says, one day after the two-day anniversary of the Hamas October 7th attack against Israel, President Donald Trump announced a peace deal to free the remaining hostages has finally been accepted. I am proud to announce that Israel and Hamas have both signed off on the first phase of our peace plan, Trump said on Truth Social. This means that all of the hostages will be released very soon, and Israel will withdraw their troops to an agreed-upon line as the first step towards a strong, durable, and everlasting peace. All parties will be treated fairly. This is a great day for the Arab and Muslim world, Israel, all surrounding nations, and the United States of America, and we thank the mediator from Egypt and Turkey who worked with us to make this historic, unprecedented event happen. Blessed are the peacemakers.
I think it's Monday and of course it'll be early Monday morning, which will be still like nighttime here, but and said we'll wake up early Monday morning, and that's we'll be watching that on the news as the hostages are released, and then you have a bunch of prisoners that Israel's going to release, a bunch of they're prisoners, but
good.
Here you have again. Trump kind of gave them an ultimatum. You know, Trump kind of said, "Look, okay, here's where we're at now. I'm tired of fooling around with you." And he let Netanyahu know, he let him have it too. You know, you gotta you gotta be able to give a little bit to get this, okay? And so Then he let the radicals know very, very clearly that you're either going to sign that and go along with it, or you're going to be gone. He let them know that he was going to, as they say out there, disappear them. So anyhow, just like he's doing with these drug cartels, you know, they're killing millions of people. They're bringing that stuff in. You've had over the last few years, 300,000 people die just from fentanyl. Wow. In this country.
Yeah, didn't he do something in Mexico about that?
Yeah, he told the unfortunately, say in Mexico, the drug cartels have a super big influence in the government.
Okay? Yes, right.
Yeah,
we
understand
and
that.
He let them know very clearly that, they said we don't want troops in Mexico, and he said, well, then you either clean it up yourself, or we will. Or I'm coming in there, because they're bringing that stuff in our country. So I'm giving you time to clean it up. If not, they don't really have to put, Trump doesn't have to put troops on the ground. We have the technology where they can watch the drug cartels. They know their operations. They know where they're at, and they know how to take them out.
They have pinpoint strikes that they can do that, you know, no collateral damage and take care of those things. So, yeah.
Yeah, where they can actually follow some of the drug cartel leaders as they're driving down the highway and just take them out.
Okay? Yeah.
Yes.
Because, you know, the thing of it is they're killing so many millions of Americans with these drugs. Yeah. You have an article there?
Yes. The case for citizen-only census. Who is the census for? Or more importantly, who does Congress represent? If you answered U.S. citizens, you're correct, or at least you should be. At the start of each decade, the federal government tallies who's living in the country and where, citizens and non-citizens alike. The census data determines how many seats in the House of Representatives each state receives, as well as its share of Electoral College votes for president. The whole process is mandated by Article 1, Section 2 of the Constitution, the part most focused on proper representation. But representation for whom? Since 1790, anyone and everyone living within America's borders, excluding Indians, not taxed, that's approximately 300 million Americans and 41 million non-citizens, the most in our nation's history, nearly half of them living here illegally. Non-citizens have never been allowed to vote in congressional elections, but they receive improper representation in Congress because the census fails to exclude them from the apportionment process. When all 435 House seats are divided up between the 50 states and D.C., that's dramatically inflated Democrats' power in the House of Representatives as a non-citizen population has grown at Americans' expense. Simply excluding 18.6 million illegal aliens, the most plausible estimate given by the Federation for American Immigration Reform, from the 2020 apportionment would shift 8 House seats, mostly from blue to red and purple states. Removing all 41 million non-citizens would shift a stunning 22 seats the same way. In either case, these are districts that should represent U.S. citizens. Instead, they're brimming with non-citizens, and Democratic Party politicians prefer it this way.
Well, they are. The Democratic Party has become totally corrupted. I mean, it's totally anti-Christ, totally communist, totally corrupted. Think about this. Okay, Biden should be charged with high treason. He will be known as the worst president this country ever had.
Yes.
He purposely did everything he could to destroy this country. He weaponized the agencies. First of all, he actually flew in. He had from these countries that were emptying their prisons. He was bringing plane loads full of murderers, convicted murderers. Yeah. Some of them convicted with several murders, okay? And rapists and child molesters. So what happened, you know, all the time Biden was in, every single day, you would see women being raped, being murdered out mm-hmm. there, children being molested, elderly people being, you know, I mean, these guys, you had a couple of them that they raped 80-something-year-old women, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You have them, you know, like the one that set that poor woman on fire on the mm-hmm. in the subway. These are horrible people. Biden brought these animals in on us. Biden brought them in here to do that. And so every single day, now, more and more of the Americans are saying, you know, we got to stop this. Even Democrats are saying, we got to stop this. Even Democrats are saying, you know, I'm afraid to ride the subway. I would like to be able to ride the subway without being afraid, you know. Yeah. We got to get, you know, I know there's always a danger to where you actually have a real dictator where, and we're all concerned about that, you know. But at the same time, he's doing what we've all wanted to do, what everyone's talked about. He's doing it. He's cleaning up.
Yeah, and that's an excellent article. I'm glad you read that because it really puts a perspective on, you know, a lot of times you look at, well, all these illegal aliens and, you know, they're hopefully getting them out. But it's affecting the seats in
Congress.
Congress. Mm-hmm. So, I mean.
Well, that's the purpose. That's why they did it. That's why they're bringing them in.
Yeah.
And I think the average person doesn't look at it that way, though.
No, they don't.
I don't think they realize that.
Because the average person is not going to hear that on NBC, ABC, or CBS.
Right.
Out there.
Yeah,
okay.
That's true.
And that is why they've been turning away from the blue, the left-wing media. Their popularity, their acceptance has been just, approval has been dropping way down.
Yeah.
And that is why you have more conservative, you know, remember back in the day where we were very few of us conservative talk shows, okay? Mm-hmm. You know, the radio was littered with liberals. Now that's gone. And now you have all these blogs in it.
Right.
Conservative people are saying, finally, it's like I've waited so long to mm-hmm. be able to get out. And now this is why they've changed their name from mainstream to
Legacy.
Pardon, Legacy Media, because they're no longer mainstream anymore. Mm-hmm. Okay, so,
right.
So. All righty. I know, Lisa, you're waiting. Lisa's waiting. She's here. She goes. Go on, Lisa.
Okay, this is from the Daily Signal. President Donald Trump's State Department has fired a Foreign Service officer who admitted to hiding a relationship with a woman who had known ties to the Chinese Communist Party, the department confirmed to the Daily Signal. Investigative journalist James O'Keefe uncovered that Foreign Service officer Daniel Choi admitted on a hidden camera to hiding his relationship with the daughter of a senior Chinese Communist Party official. Quote, "This termination is consistent with the executive order signed by President Trump affirming both his constitutional authority over our foreign policy and the State Department's responsibility to carry out his directives." Tommy Pigott, principal deputy spokesperson at the state, said in a statement shared with the Daily Signal, quote, "Under Secretary Marco Rubio's leadership, we will maintain a zero-tolerance policy for any employee who is caught undermining our country's national security." Trump signed an executive order in February stating that, quote, "all officers or employees charged with implementing the foreign policy of the United States must, under Article 2, do so under the direction and authority of the president. Failure to faithfully implement the president's policy is grounds for professional discipline, including separation." Choi admitted on the hidden camera that the woman could have been a spy. He said her father was straight up Communist Party.
Well, you know, look, Slawell, or, you know, slept with Fang Fang for years. Everyone knew that she was a communist spy and a prostitute. She was a whore, okay?
Yes.
And he's openly slept with her. Mm-hmm. I mean, everybody knew it. You had Feinstein, you know, when she was a senator, her driver was a hardened, very well-known communist spy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And well, look, guess what? All of those, Chucky Schober and all the rest, they're communists.
Yeah. Yes.
They're all communists. So there you go. We'll be back right after this.
A little girl lay dying. She was only 8 years old. She said, I want to see the preacher. So they left them alone. Will you make me a promise? She said as he walked in. He said, tell me what I can do. She said this to him. Said, I know I'm dying, but that's not why I'm sad. I know I'll go to heaven, but what about Mom and Dad? I told them about Jesus, but I could not make them see. So when they come to my funeral, would you do this for me?
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain that he had to bear. Tell Mom and Dad about heaven above. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for. Jesus, please, so I'll see them again.
She said they dropped me off at Sunday school, and I'm so glad they did. But how great it would have to be in a church service with them. She said, promise me you'll tell them. As she faded off to sleep, he said, sweetheart, don't worry. And that's a promise that I'll keep.
Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus and all the pain. Tell them they can see me there. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus. Tell them what he's done for them. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them again. Tell Mom and Dad about Jesus, please, so I'll see them.
All right, we're back, and we're going to take Dan Kovacic. Dan, you've got 10 minutes.
Hey, Pastor, I probably got less than that because of the time limit on the call, but how's it going?
Okay.
Yep, I have a porter job in here that gave me the opportunity to get on. So I wanted to give you a call and just thank you and your audience, everyone, for the support again. I think it did make a difference, even though it was, you know, I think, you know, pretty complicated the way things happened and unfortunate. But hopefully, you know, I'm trying to keep my faith in God and keep, you know, praying that something changes here. I'm going to file now that it's at this stage, I can file for a pardon or commutation of sentence. So I'm going to, you know, do those things. And I can appeal for the Second Amendment and Fourth Amendment issues that happened in the case, all the, you know, outrageous conduct that happened, the government conduct that I've talked about. So, yep, I just appreciate you having me on and everyone that has been in, you know, keeping me and everything in the prayers and in the support.
Well, Pastor Lewis and I, we understand what it's like to have to deal and be the victims of corrupt government, corrupt judicial.
Yeah, I spent 10 years in prison over something, so.
Pastor was telling me unbelievable that they just throw people. And that's what I, when here in the program tonight, you know, talking about the, you know, the deep state and the, you know, weaponization of government. I'm no one is more excited to see Trump going after Antifa than me, but, you know, knowing what they, when they put that terrorism designation on you, what that does and what it can do to an American citizen who hasn't been, charged with a crime or hasn't been, you know, isn't guilty of any crime. And to just, you know, throw your life off the rails without due process, I hope that he and the people, and I trust that they will, but that they're able to destroy the deep state, really, truly, because the, you know, I mean, that's the, it was a FBI-created crime. I've been working and adding, you know, every day to that X account that I was telling you about, at DK, framed by the FBI, to put up information from the case if anyone wants to check, you know, to verify the things that I've said about how they faked the, you know, 5-hour barricaded standoff to try to get probable cause in my case and all the bizarre stuff that came with it, the lies, the perjury. So, but yeah, I just hope that that's something that Trump really, you know, is able to, because, you know, if a future president Newsom, God forbid, or Mandami or anything like that, you know, if they steal an election and they say anyone that used to be MAGA is now, you know, categorized as terrorists, we, you know, who wants to see that? And, you know, with the power that they have in the Joint Terrorism Task Force, they work with the corporations, they work with AT&T, Apple, your electric company, your gas company, the things I was going through, and they turn them against you. And they were treating me like, you know, these people. I had to go to my bank and different places that I was having these issues with, and they treated me like, you know, worst scum they've ever seen. And I said, I don't know what they told you guys about me. I'm not a bad person. I'm not, you know, whatever you guys are treating me like this for, but that's what they did. I know you guys have experienced the same.
Yeah, we know what it's like. You know, we were talking about, you know, with Candace Owens. You know, Candace Owens has been kind of losing it lately, and where she's going into spurts of, you know, using profanity and that. And then we saw what's happening because she's come out and she's saying, you know, what they're doing to her. Okay, and it's the same type of thing that, you know, that you know, they play with you. Now they have the technology, which is greater than ever, to cause more damage. And just, you know, and just what's happened here just this year already on this radio program, I don't know how many times. I mean, my gosh, they almost gave me, they put me in a hospital in McTernan and Pastor Hal, you know, with.
Yeah, that's right.
Direct energy weapons are real. I didn't want to believe it, you know, I didn't. But that's.
Oh, they're real, all right.
Wingtel Pro, and, yep.
And it's like
all that stuff, MK Ultra, all that stuff's still alive and well.
Yeah, well, it is out there, but, you know, luckily this week, you know, the FBI just purged a lot of FBI agents. Great. Who were all involved, you know, with that Arctic Frost operation.
I saw that.
Yeah, and so little by little they're doing it, and they've found all of those burn packs, and they've got all kinds of stuff. Listen, they've got all the goods, the works on Joe Biden, showing how he actually wanted to get that war going over there. And you had these people with the military projects going who were involved. It had all these sons, like you had Nancy Pelosi's son and the senator from
Mitt Romney's
son. You had John Kerry's son. Mm-hmm. All of their sons, and they're all involved in the industrial war complex. Okay, where they're making good money. If you would know which contracts, companies were going to get the contracts to provide the munitions, and then you invest in that, and they were promoting all of this stuff out there. Mm. And we were telling people, you see what they're doing out here? And so the Biden regime was really pushing to keep the war going, keep feeding the war. In fact, I tell you who's been brought out of it, who got all the intel on that was none other than the Russians themselves. And they're bringing this stuff out even now.
Well, yep, and that could have been part of what they started targeting me. I'm not sure. I have a bunch of different theories, but I was sharing, you know, some of the contents during 2020 election, the Hunter Biden laptop. I was, you know, I got banned from so many different accounts trying to share, you know, that was real. The things that, you know, were on there and trying to, you know, because it was hard. I mean, they were getting shadow banned, and I was just trying to get the word out there. And I think that could have possibly been what brought this on me. But when I was searching the technological, you know, applications and things that I saw when I tried to investigate the cyber hacking, I saw the names of programs when I searched them and tried to see who they what they were and who used them. I traced them back to the Cyber Warfare Division of the Air Force. And that's, you know, I don't know if that was, you know, something that, it, you know, is accurate. I'm not positive, but that's what
you have 1 minute remaining.
You know, and the fact that that's what our Air Force would be focusing on as an American citizen who was, a law-abiding citizen, and I couldn't, you know, make a phone call sometimes or send a text message. Was, you know, it was a hard time. So,
well, Daddy, prayers are with you. We're letting you get your story out so people know that it's still going on. It is still going on, and so
it is. Hopefully not too much longer. I'm going to be, for the first time, I can actually reach out now to the White House directly. So I'm at that stage because it's been resolved at the court level. So I love you guys and keep praying for me. And you're in my prayers, you and your ministry and program.
All right. Well, thank you very much. God bless, my friend.
Yep. God
bless. And you'll be in our prayers, too. The Lord would set that captive free, huh?
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely.
See, there's a lot more of that going on than people know. Like, just like right now, you're still having servicemen who are being thrown out of the military because they refuse to take the flu shots, because mm-hmm. the flu shots have mRNA mm-hmm. in it now, okay? And so, and that's supposed to have stopped. That's not supposed to be happening, but it's still happening.
Yeah, we had an article here. I don't know if we have time for that. Well, but
yeah, go ahead.
Where was that? That says... As WorldNet Daily recently reported, some members of the U.S. military, even under President Donald Trump and the War Secretary, are being injected from the service, or ejected, I guess you would say, from the service for filing religious exemption from taking vaccines. The main focus point of the report was... Technical Sergeant William Tony Oslin, who feared that his Christian religious beliefs might jeopardize his military career. Unfortunately, that really has come to pass. WND spoke to Oslin, whose last day in uniform after 2 years battle over the flu vaccine was... last Friday, October 3rd, even though he feels a great deal of disappointment, Oslin expressed gratitude for the individuals he believed were put in his path by the Lord to assist him and others to have this been treated unfairly. So, again, we have that right there happening in the military even today. Mm. And that flu vaccine is...
Yeah. And first of all, the flu vaccine, the effectiveness is almost zero.
Yeah.
And that's the reality, okay?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, you know, just don't realize that. Well...
Well, the effectiveness on the flu, but the effectiveness on the body is not.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, even the effectiveness on the flu has come out. It's hardly effective at all. It really doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, it's like here. I had the doctor explain it this way. You can get the shot and go home, rest, drink fluids and water, and stay in bed for 7 days, or you can not get the shot, go home, take fluids and water to rest, and stay in bed for 7 days. The results are the same, okay? And so the other thing is, you know, with that mRNA, bad things have happened to many, many, many people.
Yeah.
And it's time for you folks, you guys know what time it is, it's time to tell the folks how they can get to heaven.
Amen, amen. I just want to encourage my brother first, and I want to give you this verse for those that are incarcerated and maybe going through. The Bible says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." That's Romans 8 and 18. And again, I just say that to anyone that is going through suffering right now. The Bible tells us there's going to be no comparison when we get on the other side of glory. To what you are presently going through. So please keep your head up and know that we win in the end. Now, as it pertains to salvation, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. And I want to help you. I want to be that peacemaker, bridge between this life and reconciliation to God, because the Bible says we've been given this ministry of reconciliation. And so listen, if you find yourself at odds with God, or if you are in sin, you need to know that you can be saved. But the penalty for sin, as the Bible says, lust when it's conceived, it brings forth sin. Sin when it is finished, it brings forth death. So if you go down that path, you continue down that path, and you don't have Jesus Christ to be the propitiation for your sins, then when you cross over, if you have not accepted him as Savior and you stand before a holy God, the Lord is going to say, depart from me, thou worker of iniquity. And your final place, not just hell, but the final place that you wind up is in the lake of fire. So the Bible says that the preaching of the cross is foolishness to them that are perish, but unto us that are saved is the power of unto God. And I just lastly want to say before I turn it over is that there were two people that died on the side of Jesus Christ, at least we know, and it calls them malefactors. And it says, and one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be the Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, dost thou not fear God, seeing that thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus looked back at him and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, this day will you be with me in paradise. Everybody is not going to understand. Everybody is not going to turn to Christ. But if you could hear his voice today, turn to him and let him come into your heart. Pastor Richard.
Yeah, and we need to look at really why we're here. A lot of people kind of say that, why are we here, and what does all that mean? And Revelation 4:11 says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and made and were created. So we're created for God's pleasure. Sometimes we miss that focus, or we don't think about that. So the most important thing, though, is we want to know where we're going to go when we die. And the scriptures are very clear about that. There's only two locations, heaven or hell. It's Simple as that. And we can choose that. It's referred to as a free gift. And if it's a free gift, you would think, well, everybody should have it. But no, it's a free gift that we have to take. And if we set a gift on the table and you don't take it, then that's on you. And that's what God has done. He has set it on the table of life. And the way we take it is we have to understand that we're a sinner. We have sin in our lives. We were born as with the sin nature. We have sin. And God doesn't want, God does not allow any sin to come into heaven. So how do we solve that? Only through Jesus Christ. And the gospel is very clear. The gospel is understanding who Jesus Christ is, that he was born a virgin. He lived a perfect life. He shed his blood on the cross for our sins. He died. And the most important thing is rose on the third day. And if you're willing to accept that and understand that, and will take Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, repenting, turning from your old ways, changing your mind on your life, and changing and turning toward Jesus Christ, the Scripture says you'll be saved. And it's a simple process of just asking Jesus to come into your heart and change you. And you can do that right now. You can just pray this prayer or a prayer like this, that, dear Lord, please, I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I need you, Jesus Christ, in my life. And I want to turn from my ways. I want to repent of my lifestyle and change my mind and live the life that you want me to live so that I can have that eternal life. If you do that and you truly believe it in your heart, if you truly are convicted that that's what you want, the Scripture says you're saved. Salvation is so simple, and so many people just won't pay attention or reject that. Pastor, you want anything?
Yeah, you know, people will say, and you hear this all the time, I don't choose to believe that. Well, you might not, but you're going to believe that. There's no chance in the world that you're not going to believe it. Just like, you know, you can say, we know, I don't choose to ever die. I think I'll live forever.
But, oh, dear.
But you're not going to live forever. You're going to die, and when that happens, you see, there are absolutes. One of them is, if you're listening to me, that means you're absolutely alive.
And you, that, yeah, and you can choose not to believe in gravity, but jump off of a building and see what happens.
So, folks, you got to make, there is no better explanation than what you find in the greatest source of knowledge in existence today, and that's God's Word, the Bible. Listen,
that's right.
Jesus said it, and you will believe it. Believe me, you will.
Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that he's Lord.
Okay. Amen. We got to say good night.
Good night. Good night.
We want to say thank you for being here with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you.
And as we get to this point, we say, and always, remember this, ready?
Keep
fighting the
fight.
Fight. Fight.
The time is running
fight.
Out. Fight.
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 Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.